Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Fabricated. I was on my dick, I was so depressed. I was at that pilot taking them showers. Losing my mind, God, where's your power? All them tears I cried out. Suffered in silence, seeking your guidance. Now I'm impatient, it's making me violent. I know these killers, I ain't gon' go there. That evil be so deep down in they demon holes be breathing, scheming lust. Who can I trust? I don't really know, my mind been colliding. Niggas lie right through their teeth. That disbelief is on my sleeve. The ground break, exposed to fake. That sunlight, sun started to liquid. You can't box with God. Chip across my shoulder, niggas dead weight. I skated off, that figure ain't for the perfect score. Oh, I read the truth. Kinda foreign to them, pressure make it hard to breathe. It take a lot of strength to roll your boat and fight against the stream.
They say they love you with their eyes. You can't feel it in the energy and vibes all the time. They say they love you, they don't. For the love that I want, and it's hard to say don't be, don't fool with it. They say they love you with their eyes. You can't feel it in the energy and vibes all the time. They say they love you, they don't. For the love that I want.
Look, ain't got no beat, nah. No streets, not gon' beat without no heat when I move.
Can't
stay out the way.
Got it.
Ain't got no beat without no streets, not gon' beat without no heat when I move.
Can't
stay out the way.
Got it.
Keep your fake love, I don't want it. Mirror show my opponent, they really cobras and vomit. Sometimes they show you a warning, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they camouflage it.
They do.
Look. Sometimes you have to overanalyze it, look.
But
I say safe and sorry.
Then
lose my patience hardly.
Nah.
When the stakes are largely
what?
Cut the snake in garden. Oh yeah, they say be cautious.
Yeah.
When they come as friends.
What?
And they run with foes.
Huh?
Run their mouth
they
like hoes.
They love you with their eyes. You can't feel it in the energy and vibes all the time. They say they love you, but they don't. For the love that I want. And it's hard to say don't be, don't fool. You can feel it in the energy and vibes all the time. They say they love you, they don't.
This for all y'all saying love.
It's hard, they don't.
Y'all listen.
Don't
I used to want them to love me like Pop.
Love me like Pop.
Now I just want them to love me like Pop.
Love me like Pop.
I'm more like my mom when they brought the cops. Some of y'all just want attention from
Pops.
Listen. Sometimes it's those who love you who hate you or nothing. Take it all from you and spend their life in the pen. Think about what should've, what could've been. What is the enemy, what is the friend? Feel like the line between both of them thin. Feel like the gratitude that we extend is never returned from the opposite end. Listen. And I don't fear snakes, I'm a snake charmer. Hope fate warns you that even if you lay dormant, baby, nothing can escape karma. Facts on facts on facts. They chase racks on racks on racks. I just want freedom, I don't wanna beat them. I just wanna never ever leave them. He's in freedom, leave it. Listen.
Can feel it in the energy and vibes all the time. They say they love you, but they don't. You feel the love that I want, and it's hard to say don't be, don't fool with it. Man, that's a straight fire right there, man. And what's the happening, y'all? This is your man, King Ed, and you're now tuned in to episode 548 of Off the Cuff Radio, and this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse Boutique, Core Financial, Screwball Radio. Got T-Max with the facts on the line tonight.
What is going on, y'all? On another terrific Tuesday, this is your co-host, Walter Cuff Radio. T-Max with the facts. Of course, my brother, King Eric the Ruler. Shout out to our co-host in spirit, Long Sam. And, of course, big shout out to DJ Sincere, Dirty Basement Radio. And, I mean, King, what a way to open it up with such a soulful and stirring rendition that is indicative of that good gumbo genius of home cooking coming out of New Orleans, which is where we have our guest, you know, coming back again, you know, to chop it up with us. King, go ahead and bring him in.
Yeah, man, this song right here called Love Lies is featured Matt, our guest of the night, and he's been putting it down with Matt on different collabos, representing Hall for the Louisiana rap scene. And big shout out to Pittsburgh Pat for putting this connection together between me and this guy, man.
Absolutely.
He's a real solid individual.
Absolutely.
Man. We had a dope build with him last time, and he's here this time around to tell us what he's been doing, what he's been cooking up, what's been happening for 2023, and the future projects in the work, and to tell his story, because now our audience has expanded in different fashions when we had him on last time. So without further ado, with Dwayne Samo, on to Off the Cuff Radio, man. Welcome back, King, man.
Welcome back,
good,
man.
It was good.
And welcome back,
Sebo,
bro.
Sebo, great to have you back with us, man. In between you crossing up and dunking
back,
on fools,
man,
on the ball court. Yeah, dunk between duck crossing up and dunking on fools on the ball court. We've been seeing that IG of you out there on the wood, man.
That's my first love right there.
Yeah, man. It's great to have you back with us, as always, man, representing NOLA. I mean, like King said, what's been happening with you lately, man? Yeah, man.
I've been working, man. I've been in the lab, man. If you ain't here for me, I'm in the lab. Working on something I got dropping called Love All, Hate None, Trust a Few, dropping May 25th. And that was one of the lead singles out there featuring Mac, Marcy B, and my partner King, Creole King.
Man, and look, since we talked to you last, a lot's happened, of course, with Mac getting out. You know, we always said free Mac until it's said backwards. Dude, what was it like for y'all to click up after? Yeah, what was it like to see him again, man?
Man, it was everything, man. Like, we hung out in his old neighborhood and in his grandmother's house like we did years ago. He didn't skip a beat, still the same old Mac, still influential, still dropping gems to you. That place didn't break him.
Amen. In terms of
what was dope also is that when he dropped his last album, I think last year, or it was the year before last after he got out, he didn't even miss a beat on the mic.
City. I heard him while he was in there. Like, he never skipped a beat. He got better than me, to be honest with you. He more He can put the words together a lot better than what he did when he went in.
Yeah, and I think about, and when you think about those situations, albeit an unfortunate one with his circumstances, you know, taking an involuntary vacation, you know, for that time he was down, you know, Sam, when you're down like that, it gives you time to reflect. It gives you time to think, you know. Like they said, you know, like my man Morgan Freeman said in Shawshank, you know, all you have is time in the world and all the time to think about it. So, of course, you know, you concentrate on things to preoccupy your time. And, you know, hearing that, you know, the fluidity, the conviction, the panache, everything that encompasses him seeing, you know, where he was already proficient at it, he has just excelled even more at it.
Yeah, what's different about him is he taught himself to play almost every instrument. Play guitar.
Oh, wow.
Drum, keyboard. Yeah,
okay.
He does it all now. And he taught
himself.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah. Almost every instrument.
When you look at the fact that he taught himself, Sam, all those instruments, do you think that also added to it in terms of understanding melodies, chord progressions, and harmonics in terms of helping to build his flow as well in terms of how to also complement that with the music that is going on?
Well, really, right now, he's the artist he's always wanted to be. At No Limit, he was just catering to the No Limit sound.
Right.
But now he finally gets a chance. We had a talk, and he said something to me that resonated with me was he gets a chance to do the music he's always wanted to do, and it's on his own terms. Mm-hmm. The music you're hearing from him now is just him. Like what he's always wanted to give you is him. He doesn't change. People think he's changed from the artist they heard at No Limit. He was just being the artist to cater to the audience that No Limits was attracting, but now he's able to be that artist that he was. This is nothing new to me. I've heard him make this music for years, but now he gets to present it to the world on his own terms. That's the difference.
Yeah, you can start slowly seeing it even when on World War III, you started noticing him using more live instruments and guitar licks and stuff, whereas before with Shell Shock, it was strictly beats by the pound. They would just say hitting it with.
Yeah.
Bang.
He has a big show coming up. He has a big show coming up July 21st at the House of Blues in New Orleans for the 25th anniversary of Shell Shock. It should be a legendary night. We're going to have a lot of guests there, a lot of people coming in for that.
That's dope.
That's what it is.
That's what it is, man.
It's good to see you brothers still correlating, still working together, and still putting out good music, and that the music is still being appreciated by a new audience that, you know, we grew up from, but now a younger audience is embracing you guys.
Yeah, he inspired to all the artists in New Orleans. Like, he was that artist that everybody looked up to. He'd been one of the greats since he was young.
What you said, Sammo, about how he got to make the music that he wants to make. When we look at a lot of artists who get on labels throughout all eras of the hip-hop history and record making, that level of artistic freedom, that creativity, that expression, how important and integral is that to an artist's psyche and their even their sanity to a degree in terms of being able to do music that is true to them as opposed to having a label dictate to them what they think the artist should sound like?
Yeah, creative freedom is everything. You get your best work when you have the creative freedom. When you're forced to do a certain record or forced to make a certain sound, it hinders you a little bit. It does. You can tap into it and put your own twist on things. But when you have complete creative control, you're going to get the best of that artist. That's what I think. That goes for any artist.
Definitely. I use this as a reference point. I know when the Fugees back in the day from their first album, Blunted on Reality, that came out in 1994, you know, that didn't necessarily do so hot, you know, But when they came with the score, Wyclef had negotiated, you know, with their label, basically saying, we don't want any interference. You know, we will take care of this in-house in terms of what we want to do. And, of course, the classic was birthed, of course, you know, with Above the Law, when they did Forever Rich Thugs, you know, when they did it on their own label, Westworld, you know, back in 99. You know, Big Hush, KMG, KI, you know, all of them, you know, they were like, you know, he said on the intro, they were like, we finally get to do what we feel. When you see the game today, Sam, of how artists are coming out with the music, do you think a lot of times that's from their vision of what they feel? Do you think they're just trying to play not necessarily from a label's dictate, but what they see the popularity of music dictate in terms of what's considered hot right now?
Yeah, some artists do that, but for the most part, I think a lot of artists today have more creative control. They get to put out the music that they want to put out. And like you put your, like a lot of artists, it's a lot of independent artists. So a lot of artists today get to put out the music they want to put out. I think that's the difference between now and then, because some of the records that are coming out now, most labels would have been afraid to put out back in the day. The furthest stretch we had from that was like NWA, but you have like a ton of NWAs now. You get a lot of that music now. Without the backlash that NWA took. But now they found another way to interfere is with the rap on trial. That's another thing now. You got to be careful what you say now, because now they're using your lyrics against you in a court of law.
And not only a court of law, they're using it against you.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, they're not only using
the curse
law,
with the greater control now.
Yeah, they use it against you to hurt your well-being. Like, it goes in line with that cancel culture stuff. Like, you say the wrong thing.
Yeah, you say the wrong thing. The cancel culture, yeah. You got to be careful what you say now. There's no freedom of, like, freedom of speech is limited now.
And it's interesting, Sam, when you said that about NWA in terms of what was going back then, because when you look at over 35 years ago, when went Straight out of Compton dropped, it was such a seismic shift when we looked at the culture back then in terms of what was happening. Because it wasn't the birth of gangster rap. Schoolie D in 86, you know, Alive from Saturday Night, that was really the beginning. Of course, Ice-T would come later with Ryan Paice.
Yeah.
So you could say in earnest, those were the first two gangster rap albums. Straight Outta Compton just happened to be the one that garnered the most attention and publicity. Nobody had ever heard anything like that in such a fashion that was scathingly critical of authority and essentially saying fuck the establishment in the way that they did it. It was revolutionary and essential because it really brought a real voice to something at the time, I think, that needed to be articulated. You know, nobody ever came with anything like that, and I think that's why the record hit like it did. Like you said now, so many artists, I mean, it's ironic, y'all, because of us being students, lovers, and children of the culture, we look at it now and it's like, they were making a fuss about this. Back in the day,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you hear like Fuck the Police on every other record now. Somebody said that on every other record.
But it's like, it's definitely, they opened up the door. But I guess in retrospect,
oh, then we got Pat up there. Oh, then we got Pat on right now.
Pat, what's Hey, Pat.
What's happening?
What's going on, Pat? Always great to have you with us. Yeah.
Chilling. Yeah. I was listening to what you guys were talking about, and I agree with what you guys are saying, and like just like what you guys are saying about NWA, about how, you know, Schoolie D and everybody was first, but NWA kind of kicked down the door for everybody to hear it.
Yeah.
I think that really kicked off a different like, you know, you don't have to sound like what's popular. So that's how I think we got the birth of everybody coming with their own style, everybody coming with something different to the table. Now I think, you know, we might lack that a little bit, but at the same time, what you guys were saying about the cancel culture shit, that shit's true too, where we thought we kicked down doors with that shit, but it seems like we're going backwards now, where you can't use certain words and you gotta sugarcoat what you're talking about and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think that really kicked down the door for everybody to be different, and that's when people, like, before that, really think about it, when you thought hip-hop, you just thought of one thing. You just thought of, like, one
right.
sound, you know? And that, once that happened, then that's when everybody started to dig a little deeper, and that's why I think it took a little bit, you know, it took a while for everybody to really break through on a national and now worldwide level, but I think that NWA kind of birthed that, you know, oh, this is a different kind of hip-hop. So that's how we discovered what New Orleans sounds like, what Houston sounds like, what, you know, Chicago, Detroit, like, everybody had their own spin to what hip-hop was, and that's how we got the big picture of everything, of all these little different offshoots of what hip-hop is. And I do think that NWA played a huge part in that, because you didn't have
it
to
is.
Follow a cookie-cutter example of what hip-hop was. You had your own twist on what everybody had their own style of it, and I tip my cap to them for that, because, you know, that opened the door for everything, no matter what it was. You didn't have to sound like them. It was everybody had their own style, you know what I mean, and their own sound, their own, you know. But the aggressiveness of NWA is what really, you know, they had kind of like the complete package, if you think about it, because, like, they had the characters, like the personas, you know what I mean? They had the great voices, the aggression. They just had the complete package, man. So if you listen to music after NWA, a lot of people took just little elements of that. And, like, you know, NWA kind of had the whole package. Ice Cube and Eazy-E are two totally different personas, but they blended so well together. And Eazy-E was kind of the first guy that didn't have to be all lyrical and all that. It was his, just him being him is what made him a star. Just his style, the way he talked, the way he presented himself. You know, you saw an Eazy-E interview and then heard his record, and you liked the record just because you saw him in an interview and you felt like, man, that's a smooth dude. That's a cold dude, you know what I mean? And I think we saw a little bit of that in people like Pimp C even. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what made me a fan of a more recent art. That's what made me a fan of Roddy Ricch. Before I heard a lot of his music, I saw an interview he did. And
right.
Nipsey. I saw an interview Nipsey did, like, in 2008, 2009, which made me a fan of his music. Like, I heard him do an interview, and they incorporated their intelligence in their music. Like, I didn't get a difference. It wasn't a facade to me.
Yeah.
That's what made me a fan of Roddy Ricch. I saw an interview he did.
Yeah, I like that shit, because it does translate to the music, and it makes you understand, like, it makes you understand the music a little more when you get that from people, you know what I mean? Because, you know, there are certain artists that I like that, like, if I just play you a song, you might not feel it the way I feel it, because you don't know that artist, like, I know. So, like, you don't know why it's so dope that he said this line, or he's talking about, you just might not get it because you're not invested in it like like I am, you know what I mean? That's why, like, we can sit here all day with who the best is and all that, but really, man, it, like, if you think about it, man, it's just how certain artists hit you at certain points in your life. Like, you know, when this album dropped, you might have been going through something that those songs, you really vibe to those songs.
Yeah.
So the next person might not understand that. They might not get what you got out of that album at that time. So it's going to mean something different to you. So, like, that's why certain artists,
right.
Like, you know, my top 20 is going to look so much different than the next guy just because we have different life. You know, we went through different shit in our lives. You know what I mean? So it wasn't a hot album to me. It was something that I really felt. And that's the difference between a lot of shit. So that's why I don't really think that, like, people arguing over top fives and all that shit all the time. It's like, yo, man, like, some of these dudes, you know, like, one of my favorite albums ever is that She Murdered, Truest Shit I Ever Said. I love that album. And, yeah, I guess when you break it all down, people say, oh, well, it's not as good as this other album by him or whatever. It's like, yeah, but during that time, like, man, I felt he so much during that time.
Yeah,
I never get into the
best rapper or top five. I've never gotten to that argument. I don't have a top five rapper. I don't have a top five list. Because I pretty much listen to everybody. And I think, like, you can't have an opinion on certain rappers if you haven't heard of them. If you haven't heard of them, if you haven't listened to it.
And you notice, and you gotta notice this too. You notice what they do. You notice what they do. They always create those debates within hip hop. You never had hear them do that on rock artists. Like, I want to see rock artists.
Yeah.
Because
give
me a top 50 list. I'm gonna mess that list up.
I never thought about that.
I'm gonna mess that list up. I'm gonna put Prince at number one and Elvis at 50. I'm gonna botch that list.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I understand that. That's why, like, personally, I was never a fan of Verses. I just was never really a fan of it because it's like, man, I'm not about to, like, when you put the Dipset versus the Lox and shit, man, I'm not about to sit here and call Dipset losers and shit. Like,
Verses, and I got into it. I only watched certain Verses, and my favorite one was the Snoop. And DMX.
Yeah. I was about to that's the way I thought
it was.
It
was all about
be.
The music on that one.
Yeah, that wasn't a versus. That was like, yo, let's, like, celebrate each other. Like, hey, man, it's going to be dope when I perform this and you perform
that's,
that.
That's probably
really
the only one I watched in full.
Yeah, they wasn't really going, like, that wasn't like a DMX
versus. They were saying each other's records.
Yeah, like, that shit was hard, man. Like, I did like that one a lot. And there was a few like that, but it turned into this, like, man, we always gotta, you can't just say you like somebody. It's like, oh, they ain't top five or something. It's like, man, there's a lot of dudes that have great records, man, that, yeah, maybe they ain't top fucking 100, but they still got a great fucking record or a great album. You know what I mean? And it's like, man, do we even enjoy this shit anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, and everything's in a popularity contest. How many followers you got? And it's like, man, all that shit's whack to me, man. It's like, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't follow those trends, man. I hate that shit, man. Like, oh, they never had a hit record and all that shit. It's like, man, look what the hit records were for a long fucking time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't wanna hear some of these dudes, like, you know, like, what was the club record on Raekwon's album? You know, like, what was the Shake Your Ass record on the Wu-Tang first album? There wasn't one. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was about the music, man. Like, fuck them hit records and all that dumb shit. Like, man, like, are you listening to the actual albums? Most of the time, I don't. My favorite rappers that had singles and shit, I didn't even pay attention to the single. That was just letting me know that they had some shit on the way. And I don't even know what number the fucking single was on the album. I listened to the rest of the album. You know what I mean? And, like, the best albums are always the ones that, man, you just let it ride. You just press play, you just let it go. You know what I mean? Let the whole thing go. And me and you talked about this before, that's why I liked your Off Belmont and your Magnolia album, because they like the format that it reminded me of was like Victory Lap, like by Nipsey.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, when I was working on Off Belmont, that's all I was listening to. I was in Aruba listening to Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap. I listened to it the whole time I was there. That's what I was listening to.
Yeah, and it showed.
When I started working on the Off Belmont record.
It showed, because each song made the next one better. And everything was just kind of, you know, it flowed so nicely, the whole project did. And that's what with Victory Lap did, because I was kind of late on Victory Lap because I didn't listen to it the right way. I just heard like pieces of it here and there. And then one day I just happened to man, I'm going to listen to this shit. And man, it played out, because I kept seeing my co-host Eric talking about
it to this day.
Me too, man. I still put it on. And like, sometimes I don't even want to put it on because I know I got to listen to the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, I don't got time right now. You know what I'm saying? But it's a classic album, man. Like, it really is. And that's really hard to come by nowadays, because, you know, the people overuse words like that. But that album, to me, was one of the very few albums in this era that's timeless, to where if you didn't know any better, and I'm like, this album came out in 2005, or this album came out last week, you wouldn't know the difference, because it doesn't sound like anything else. It sounds like its own body of work. There was no, you know, influence, oh, I got to do this type of record. I got to have the love song. I got to have this. It wasn't like that. It was just a solid piece of work.
Yeah, that's one timeless record right there.
Yeah, you don't come across that too much, man. And you know, that's why I really rock with your music, is because I feel like that you create on that type of level. You're on that type of time with the way you make music, where you're not trying to...
Next album, it's real personal. It's like I've never opened up like I've opened up on this record I got coming out in May at the end of this month. It's real personal. I don't have a lot of features. I think I only have 2 songs with features on them.
Mm. Yeah, I'm real excited. Then that's when? May 25th, right?
May 25th, yeah. Love All, Hate None, Trust a Few.
I kind of got that vibe that it was going to be that kind of a record for you, just like the new singles. And I just kind of felt that from you, that you're taking your time on this one. And I could just tell by the way Love Lies sound, like that song, man, that was kind of different than anything I really heard you do.
Yeah, that was actually a track from XL that Mac passed on.
Oh,
when he first came home, XL sent him a beat pack, and he passed on that one. He didn't use that one. So when I got a hold of it, my intentions were not to put Mac on there. Mac was supposed to be on I'm a Soldier, but I played the record for him. I played the record for him, and he really liked it. I was like, look, just put a verse on it then. He doesn't even know that that's a track because I don't even think he heard the beat. He just didn't use it. I guess he didn't get to the pack.
He ended up
being featured on that track.
So are most of the songs produced by XL?
Nah, just that one, and I think he produced one more. Same producer, Young Mill, Savage Beats, EU, Nest Beats. I have a few different. I try to get different producers so nothing sounds alike.
Yeah.
I try to get different sounds on the song.
I'll still you. Shout out to XL though, man. That's one of my favorite players.
Yeah, he the GOAT. Like I've been working with him. Mm-hmm. He did my entire No Limit album in 2 weeks.
He's the entire album. Man, for real. He's something special, bro. And
I
gave him a shout out a couple days ago and shit because I think like a lot of people
he's underrated.
Yeah, when we talk New Orleans, everybody just wants to mention like KLC and Manny Fresh, and deservedly so. Like I'm not taking anything away from KLC or Manny Fresh. Like they're great, they deserve all the credit they always get. But man, there's other people that are in the door.
There's another guy. He produced "I'm a Soldier," and I have a song called "Us" that he produced. His name is Track Addict. He used to be called DJ Dickie. He's worked with every artist from New Orleans except for Matt. He's worked with every artist from Currency to Big Freedia. Every artist from New Orleans has worked with Dickie Boy. He's been around that long, and I don't think he gets the props. A lot of his stuff gets sampled in a lot of music. Beyonce has sampled him. Drake, a lot of artists sample his music. All those samples that they think coming from New Orleans bounce music come from him.
Yeah, he did a remix to a Slim joint, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
With Marcello or somebody, I think.
Yeah, he did. He's worked with everyone. I think Max, the only artist from New Orleans that he hasn't worked with.
Wow. That's crazy, man. We see,
he's one of the dopest producers I've ever worked with.
Well, yeah, I think he did All Y'all Heard of Me. Yeah, he did that. It was Marcello, BDC, Murder, and Soulja Slim.
Yeah.
It was on the DJ Rowe Presents. I can't remember what he did. Yeah, the Dickie. Yeah, I remember. Damn, I knew that name when you said the Dickie. I'm like, damn, I know that name. That's crazy, man. But yeah, like, there's a few dudes down there that on the producing side that deserve more props than they get. And XL's definitely one of them. I think that XL's.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that if you truly sit down and listen to the music that dude's made. And he even had an album last year that was kind of different than what I expected from him, and it just kind of showed his range, and I was blown away by it, man. Like, just the talent that he has, and I'm like, man, like, he's incredible, man. Everything I hear from him is just incredible. So I just wanted to shout him out, man. We got to get him on the show sometime, man, because that dude's talented, man. He's one of the GOATs for
definitely.
Real.
Definitely.
Definitely.
I was going to shoot this question to him. Are there any unreleased songs between you and Soulja Slim?
Which one?
Any unreleased material that you guys have that hasn't really
We had one. We had actually one song. It's called Sick of Tire. It was produced by XL, of course.
Okay.
But after he passed, we didn't want to put the record out. We gave the masters to his mom. Where they at, I don't know. That's the only record we were able to do. And it's just me and him on. It's called Sick and Tired. I don't know if anybody has it or not, but I know we gave the masters to his mom.
It's called Sick and Tired?
And I think I destroyed it. It's called Sick and Tired.
His son got a joint called that with Young Juvie, with Juvenile Son.
Yeah, he does have a song called Sick of Tired, but it's totally different from the one Man Slim did.
Oh, okay. Man, I need to hear that, man. I'm gonna hit up Miss Linda, man. Like, yo, I need that Sick and Slim joint.
He probably does have it, but when he passed, I called XL because after he passed, his laptop was stolen and people was releasing his music. And I didn't want that to be one of the songs that got released because it was kind of upsetting to her. So I got with XL and we sent her the masters and I gave her all the CD copies that I had.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, I've never really been on the, you know, I don't want to hear another Slim album. Like, you know, like I'd like to hear some stuff that he actually made back in the day. You know what I mean? Some like unheard, you know, embedding. I don't want to hear, you know, him with all these new producers, with the new rappers and all that. I don't want to hear one of them albums.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, Slim shit speaks for itself.
The shit that he has out there will live forever, speaks for itself.
Yeah, don't want to fuck up the legacy.
Yeah, no, I've never wanted it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm cool with what we got. And I mean, everything he put out there is flawless, for real. You know what I mean? Every single album, like, you can bump that shit front to back. I've been doing that shit for, you know, 30 years almost. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm good with what I got. I don't want to hear nobody fucking with his shit. People want to sample him, and, you know, I like that when people sample him and, you know, the proceeds go to the right people. That's cool. I'm all for that. But I don't want to hear, you know, all these new cats on, you know, remixes. I don't want to hear all that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not with that either.
Now, speaking of that too, Sam, with this whole thing about how they're messing around with the AI voices and everything, how do you feel about that in terms of these digital recreations of some of these legends that have passed voices? I don't listen to it.
I don't even listen to it. I give it no attention whatsoever.
I
haven't heard one of them.
Yeah, I don't like that shit either, man. I actually just saw a video earlier, man, of shit people are doing now, like scamming motherfuckers, like going on your Facebook, finding your voice on like a video you drop, and using your voice, putting it in an AI generator and shit, and calling your people, acting like you're in trouble and you need money and all this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm good on all that AI shit, man. Like, I'm good on that. And the internet's so crazy, man. They went from, oh, man, this is going to ruin music one day to the next day. Like, yo, you heard Biggie on that Mobb Deep joint? Like, man, get the fuck out of here with that shit, man. Like, I don't want to hear that shit.
I don't want
no part to that. I don't want to hear Biggie spitting Hit Him Up. I don't want to hear none of that shit. Like, that's like.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I did hear one, the crazy Michael Jackson, fuck them other niggas.
That was hilarious.
It was weird to me.
There might be some funny joints out there, you know what I mean? but yeah, I'm not for that shit, and you know that shit's gonna get out of control. I mean, it's already
It's gonna get worse before it gets better.
We're in the early stages of that shit. Man.
It's sky, so like,
yeah, pretty much.
Some of that Skynet stuff right there.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, man, because. It's gonna ruin shit, man. Like, you know what I mean? There's gonna be people making money off of shit that's not real. Like, you know what I mean? It's really gonna put a hurting on music in general, and it's gonna create a lot of fucking problems, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really gonna create some problems, man. Because why can't I get on there right now and make a song with this dude dissing this dude? You know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you that shit's going to happen. There's going to be, like, beefs that are started over that shit, and people are going to start making records and putting out, like, I know this shit's going to happen. People are going to have fake features on their albums to try to get their name bigger. All these, like, little rappers that don't have no followers or whatever. They're going to be like, man, I got a Drake feature. I got a Lil Durk feature and shit. And they're going to be fake AI joints, but it's going to pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we live in a time where interaction is key. You know, we live in a time where just interaction is key. That's why all these lanes get popular and shit, just because even if you got...
And once one person does it, everybody's going to start doing it.
Yeah, and even if you got 10,000 people saying your shit's trash, man, 10,000 people interacted with you. You just made the money. You know what I mean? By commenting some negative shit about them, they're making money. So this whole thing's already fucked up. You know what I mean? And it's going to get even more fucked up, man. So, like, I salute the artists that, you know, I have a select few people that I'm even on the lookout for. And it's because they don't play that internet goofy shit. You know what I'm saying? If you look at my pages now, man, I don't post that many people at all, man. It's because, man, I see so much shit on the internet. It's just like, man, I can't even fuck with them no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people play too many games and shit, man. And I don't know. I don't like it, man. So it's like I stay in my little bubble, man. I only come out here and there for motherfuckers like you, Sam. You know what I'm saying? You got an album out. I'm like, man,
yeah.
I got to support that. You know what I'm saying? But I did have a question for you, though, man. That we're going to have, that Mac's doing the Shell Shock anniversary concert. Shout out to Menace, old Cutthroat Comedian.
Yeah, definitely. Big old shout out to Menace, man, for putting this together, man. Big old shout out. I have much respect for that guy. And he did it out of the kindness of his heart. That's the most important thing. He did it for Mac. It's this thing in the House of Blues where when you sell it out, your name goes up in this wall inside there. BG's name up there, Slim's name up there, but Mac's name's not up there. But after the 21st, his name going up on that wall.
Oh, man. I can't wait. I just think it's a great thing for Mac, man. I do like the reception Mac's got since he came home. I've seen his story everywhere, man. I've seen him on the fucking Daily Show. You know what I mean? And it's wild, like, you know, I mean, like, I grew up listening to that shit. It's just crazy to me to, like, man, we were saying free Mac for 20 years, man, and now he's home, and, like, I like the love he's getting. I'm glad he's getting his story out there.
Yeah, that's going to be an epic night, man. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, and I'm just so glad that there's so many legends that have classic albums that, when anniversary time rolls around, man, like, those artists ain't here no more or, you know, whatever. Like, and the fact that, like, we get Mac, like Mac's going to be at the House of Blues performing his classic album, and to see, like, he's going to feel the love that he didn't get to see. You know what I mean?
I think he's going to be surprised, though. I don't think he's going to expect the reception that he's going to get. He's so modest.
I
tell him all the time, like, man, you just don't know how much the people love you.
He's always
going to feel it.
You know, like,
nah,
he does not know he's Mac.
He doesn't get
like,
it.
I don't think he knows what he means to people and what even just, like, casual fans think of him and just the music that he had out before he went away, like, man, like, people, like, really, really fucked with Mac. And I think it's going to be great for him to, like, I think that's going to be, like, his official, like, coming home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He's going to see, like,
May
19th
is the 25th anniversary of Give It to Him Raw.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Damn, man. That's crazy. Damn, that has been 25 years, man. That's so crazy, man.
25 years.
Like, this year will be 20 years
this year,
since he lost him.
20 years since his death, yeah. This November will be 20 years.
Damn. It's so crazy, man, because just, like, growing up listening to all that shit when it came out, I always knew that it was something different and something special, but I couldn't imagine the life that all that shit would have this many years later. You know what I mean? Because, like, the Slim legacy is still, like, super alive. You know what I'm saying? And to the point where, like, I don't think Slim will ever – he's cemented forever. You know what I mean? I don't think that his legacy is going to die. And I'm so glad that Mac came home and is able to see the impact that he's had, because even if he would have never came home, that his impact was here, and that album means the same to people whether he's here or not. That album's gonna live forever.
Yeah,
but he spit on that album, and it's an amazing album. Like if people just never, if you never really like sat and listened to that album, like, man, give it a shot. Just go and sit and listen to that shit, and just listen to the shit that Mac was saying all the way back then. And like, even that like joint he has with BG on Chopper City, the man, what
Niggas in Trouble?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. On
he actually rapped that verse to me over the phone. He'd be on the phone just spitting verse for verse, and when he rapped that verse to me, that's when I was like, yeah, you him.
Man.
And then when I heard it on BG album, I was like, okay. And it's a classic.
You can put that verse up against any verse, any guest verse. That thing, that joint is incredible, man. And he has so many verses like that, that when I would love to be there at the House of Blues when Mac is on that stage, when he gets to see all those people rapping every word, every song.
Every word.
I think it's hit him like, damn, man. And what he don't know is he could go anywhere in the country and do that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, there's people everywhere that would do that for him. And I'm glad the reception that he got. Like, I'm glad that, you know, he's getting to see how much he meant to all of us, like, from day one. And it's a beautiful thing, man. Like, I would love to interview Mac. I've never even hit him up about it, just because I'm sure everybody is. And
I'll send that message tonight.
I mean, man, that would be insane to me. You know what I'm saying? But I've never even hit him up. I'm sure everybody has, and I never wanted my support to feel like I had like an agenda behind it. You know what I'm saying? Because I never did. Like, he ain't never got to do our show. You know what I mean? Like, I always loved dude, and I'm that's the best thing that happened in hip hop in 20 years since, you know, him coming home. And like,
yeah,
just seeing him on all these different TV shows, like The Daily Show. I've seen him all over the place, man. He's everywhere. And it's just to see like a real one sitting there, like, never would have thought that shit would be, you know, I just never thought I'd see it, man. Like, just because of how crooked that system is and like how dirty they did them. I always hoped and believed that one day he'd come home. I always believed and hoped one day he'd come home, but it was just hard to imagine it, just because, like, after what they did to C Murder, too, and it was just like, man, like, are we ever going to see them come home now that he's home? I'm glad he's getting to do all this shit, and, you know, like, people really holding him down. And, you know, I'm just glad that he gets to see what he did to the hip-hop game and what he did to music in general. And to just see how I see him walking around and posting them videos of playing the guitar and shit, man, like, that just shows you the talent that dude has had, man. And
I'm just so glad
that he's home now, and that all that creativity he has, he can put out as much as he wants. And, you know, even that new album he had, The Son of the City, that was a great album. Like, I'm so happy for him, man. Like, it's just great to see where he's at, and the sky's the limit for him. I think he's going to see a lot of great things in the near future, man. And for you too, man. I'm glad you and him got to reconnect out here.
Yeah,
it was
he's really, when he first came home, he was being pulled in a million places. Now he's real comfortable. That's why you see him everywhere now. He's real comfortable with being home now. And we got a lot more work to do.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. It was great seeing y'all together, man. Just, I know what that meant to you, man, and what he's meant to your career. And
yeah, he is my career. Like, he the one pushed the issue. Like, do this. This is what you need to do. he really was influential in my decision to even decide to fuck with the music.
Okay, because I noticed talking to you that sometimes you I don't know, like you feel like you, I don't know, like do you have questions about like this rap shit? Because I noticed like you said something to me before about performing.
No, I love the music. I love making music. I just love making music. Like,
do you just
when
not
I'm
like
in
the
studio, it's just me and the engineer.
Is it like the wing part of it that you don't
have any? It's just like I never signed another deal after No Limit. No Limit was such a. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, it introduced me to a lot of people, but the situation was just not a good one. It showed me everything bad about the industry.
Yeah.
Some good, more bad than good.
Yeah.
It kind of soured me on that.
When you speak on the situation, Sam, because so many artists have such an aspiration of getting on labels, what do artists have to understand about realistically what can happen on it when shit doesn't work?
When it doesn't work, it's worse. Like, it kind of takes away your enthusiasm. Like, it just... Like at first, it was just it was the music. When I first got there, everybody wanted to make music. It was just about making music. But then things changed, and people were clicking up. And these group of people don't work with these group of people. These producers don't want to work with this artist for this reason. It just wasn't. It wasn't as family oriented as it seemed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just soured me on the industry. Period. And then what happened with Mac? It was like. A lot of people turned their back on him.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, Mac was on the label. He wasn't on any singles. But the minute he goes to jail, I think they put out like 3 singles that he was on. Like, he's not benefiting from it. And that's what kind of followed me on it. It wasn't any loyalty like they were showing. Like, it wasn't a brotherhood like people say. And that's what kind of just stopped me on the music. But now that he's home, like, that energy is back. Like, I could work with him. Like, I know it's real with him. It's not just about any fame or anything. It's about the music. And now he gets to make the music he's always wanted to make.
And I think that's important, y'all, because, you know, we have said that on so many shows, it's a business before anything. And like any business endeavor, especially in entertainment, you really, really, really have to understand that when it comes to making the dollar, there's not always going to be substance. There's not always going to be loyalty. There's not always going to be scruples. There's not always going to be honesty. And not necessarily in that order. You know, and this is just in general for any artist in terms, we've heard horror stories of so many contracts in terms of what has happened. You know, we heard situations, and once again, we use this disclaimer on off the cuff. We're not shitting on anybody. We only say this because these are things that have publicly been discussed. We see situations that allegedly happen to Death Row. We see the things that allegedly happen to Cash Money. We see the situations that allegedly happened at Bad Boy.
Every label, just to be clear.
Yeah.
every label, there's people at every label that will tell you different things about it. You know what I mean? And of course, like sometimes, you know, the guys that benefit the most, of course, they're not going to say bad things about it. But, I mean, if you look at these labels that have 30 artists on it back then, and then they do reunion shows, and only 4 of them are there. Where's the other 26 people at? Where, you know,
exactly.
That's just, you know. So I mean, a lot of it, you know, we in hip hop. Like, I remember, like Beanie Siegel said some real shit one time. He said he was mad that at one point when Jay-Z didn't visit him in jail, and then he just thought about it and was like, man, I bought into the we're Rockefeller, we're family, we're all brothers. He's like, man, that's just a thing that to sell records to for the public. You know what I mean? He didn't know mm-hmm. state property. That's what a lot of people didn't know about state property. Those dudes don't know each other. They were just different dudes from Philadelphia that they put together. But he said, man, if I worked at Burger King and I got locked up, the manager ain't coming to visit me in jail. So why would my boss, like, you know what I mean? And he said that's when he realized, like, what the music industry is. And he said that wasn't a slight at Jay-Z. That was just, it was, that's what it is they sell you a dream. And you're not, they're not there to fulfill your dream. You're just there to fulfill theirs. You're lining their pockets for them to fulfill their dream. So your goal should be to be in a position to where you're making yourself the money. You're not doing it, you know, because how can the rapper that was rapping next to you, now he owns a label and all of a sudden he knows all the business parts? I'm like, no, that ain't going to happen. Like, he's going to do things to benefit himself. You know what I'm saying? But the game's just it's crazy, man. And I do like nowadays that people don't have to rely on labels and all that, so we get to see a lot of the collaborations that we wanted to, you know, we always hope for. But overall, I just like the freedom of people being able to work with whoever they want, to make whatever they want. And I encourage people to, you know, dig through, you know, don't just listen to what's popular and everything, man. There's some great shit out there that not everybody knows about or not everybody's talking about. There's some great shit out there, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, I hear joints from you all the time, Sam, that I'm like, man, this is a classic record. This is has all the elements of a classic. And there's verses that I hear that's like, damn, that was cold. And, like, that collab album you did with Fly 7, I love that album.
Yeah,
I thought it was put together very nicely. I thought there was all kinds of songs. I thought you guys both came with the – you guys put that together so well. You guys blended so well together. And I thought
you spent some time. We've been working together since like, 2004.
Yeah.
Like, we have this chemistry. I haven't had a chemistry like with another artist since Mac.
Yeah. It was definitely felt on that project, man. It definitely was. I still listen. I have all your shit on one playlist.
Appreciate
shit,
that.
You know,
that's all.
Yeah, man, I really felt that album, and I'm really looking forward to this album because I could just tell from the first single and the way that you've been putting this album, I can tell that it's a different kind of album for you. And
yeah,
I'm really
totally
looking
different.
Forward.
I've never opened up like this ever in no way, shape, or form. I really opened up. I really touched on shit that I thought I would never be able to touch on. I just felt comfortable putting this record together. Like, I was comfortable sharing this shit.
So there's a lot of, like, personal experience type of stuff?
Yeah, it's real personal. Like, the whole album is personal. The entire album.
Okay.
That level of vulnerability, Sam, how did it come to that process where you found the direction it was going in and what it ultimately cultivated to?
To be honest with you, I think it had a lot to do with Matt coming home, because him being locked up really just had me in a fucked up state. Like, I just didn't feel right about it. So when he came home, I was just more comfortable making this type of music, like being more personal, like being around him, talking to him. Like, most of this stuff on this album is stuff that he knows about me personally. And seeing him open up and the way he did, it just kind of pushed me to open up on this record.
when you look at that level of vulnerability, which goes back to what you said earlier about interviews in terms of how artists do it, the visualization, I think a lot of times artists don't understand, is the job interview in terms of introducing yourself to an audience. It ultimately allows them to get to know you and interact in a real way. How important is it for artists to understand media? And I don't want to say this in a condescending or arrogant fashion, y'all, but how important is it for artists to really convey a likability, to be genuinely who they are, and just have the proper media training in terms of how they communicate to the masses at large?
I think it's just, if you're true to yourself, you just got to be true to yourself. Like, you really have to be true to yourself and answer most questions with complete honesty. Like, don't try to sugarcoat it to not offend this certain person. You can be politically correct and still be yourself. It's ways to do it. But if you're true to yourself and you really open up and be yourself in interviews, it's easy to do that.
Yeah, then don't take the bait, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people just want to, they want that moment. They want you to say something crazy. They want you to talk about
it. Yeah, that's
about
why
something.
I don't do, I have an issue with all the podcasts and the interviews. And I will never do an interview to expose anyone. Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not in the business of exposing anyone. Karma do enough of that for you. Karma do it for you. Yeah, so I have been asked to do certain interviews with certain, some people. I turn them down because I know what their agenda is.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, you know, there's certain people that, you know, if they've had like a historic thing, like a, you know, like a historic battle or something like that, like, of course we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
I don't want to have anybody on here just to trash anybody, even if it's somebody that I don't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just
exactly.
Because it's a cheap way to get, you know, I'd rather just let our work speak for itself. I think that, you know, like my man Eric's been doing this show for a long time. I was on a different show before I came here. I noticed all his views and followers, they were organic, man. He didn't pay for them. He didn't. They ain't fake views or none of that shit. And he didn't do it in a cheap way. He didn't do it by getting this person to talk about that person and all that. You know what I mean? And we have a great catalog of every style of hip hop you can imagine, and even like some sports and entertainment stuff in there. You know, and I just like it to be. I like it like that. It's like an encyclopedia of hip hop where you can get shit from day one on. You know what I mean? And we all specialize in our own little category. We all love everything. I love all kinds of hip hop. You know what I mean? But you know, I'm really got some with this. The world and stuff that's late, but you know, I like it to be like that where people. But we get interviews because of that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that come on our show because they know, man, we ain't just having you on here to talk some drama shit and to try to have a viral moment or anything like that. You know what I mean? We want to talk about what you want to talk about and talk about your shit, your career, your music, your future. You know what I mean? And it's for your fan base to tune in, and hopefully you gain some new followers on the way. You know what I'm saying? And I like the approach, and I like the approach that you have too, man. Because I know you can get on here and say some things. You know what I mean? And that ain't.
Yeah.
And you got an album
that's
coming.
Not me. I'm not in the business. Yeah. I'm not in the business of exposing anybody with the old stories and all that. I leave the past in the past.
Yeah. Exactly, man. And what nowadays with all these stories coming out about shit from the 90s and shit, it's like, man, there's so many stories that contradict each other and stuff that, man,
exactly.
None of that shit sticks to the wall anyway, man. Shit gets popular for a day or two and then people move on, man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So shit ain't worth it at all, man. You know what I mean? It's just microwave bullshit, man. You know what I mean? But yo, I actually got to get rolling. I'm sure everybody here does. We've been on for over an hour. I'm going to go ahead and
sign off. I appreciate y'all for having me, man.
Sam, I'm going to go ahead and sign off, man. But before they let you go, man, make sure you plug everything, where to find you and your album. I thank you guys for having me on
and having Sam on.
Everybody go get his album and follow him. He's about to give out all that information. Congratulations to Mac. And salute to all the real ones out there, man, Off the Cuff Radio.
Man, Pat, thank you as always, man.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, one thing about it, like Pat was saying, you know, certain things happen. Sam, when you look at your situation, you know, it's also what you say really resonates too, because you could say so much, but you don't. What do artists have to understand too in terms of where they go on platforms? Not only the type of interviews they do, but where they go and how they get themselves set up for something. You know, because a lot of times we're seeing this generation now where a lot of times, you know, niggas just want to be famous. They don't care how they do it, whose show they go on.
Don't.
You know, they just want to get famous.
Clout chasing at its finest.
But I think that's something too people have to understand. Not everything is good. Like they say, the old thing goes, don't be so thirsty that you drink poison to quench it. Every outlet, just like every business deal you engage in, may not always have your best interests at heart. And I think that's something that needs to be understood. There are shows that, you know, we're not going to mention names, but there are people out there who have a large platform, but you're also putting yourself and maybe people you know in jeopardy with their history and what you may talk about by going up there, because those shows are based upon a level of exploitation. It's not about the music. You know, it's not about really anything positive. It's all really about how drama can be fueled. And at the end of the day, I think part of that legacy you want to leave in terms of doing it is you want to leave something positive. King and myself, so many others, we take pride in what we do. Like Pat said, of course, with people he's brought us on, brought to our show as well. You know, he's just as much a family as much as anybody, you know. But collectively what we do, we always tell an artist, we're never going to put you on the spot in terms of you talking bad. We're going to give you a chance by the same token to express your feelings, but we're never going to set you up for anything to where you're back into a corner to answer. That's not what journalism is. And I think that's very, very important to where I think some of these podcasters and interviewers out there need to understand. This should not, because when you're setting somebody up for that, it becomes all about you then. You know, your thing is you're not about the culture. You're not about having these people up here. Your thing is you want to get your numbers up by having something, a clickbait, a hot take, something that is going to put this person out there, damage their reputation, possibly get them killed, depending where it goes. And it becomes something that is antithesis of what it is. When you not mentioning no names, when you talk about the people that have approached you, what type of pitch did they try to give you that you knew it was horseshit?
I do my research.
Mm-hmm.
I do my research. So I know what they're approaching. I know what they're looking for instantly. So I don't even acknowledge it. I've turned them down before they even get a chance to give me the pitch. Like when they reach out, I've already done my homework on them. I just don't indulge in it. I know what their agenda is.
And, I mean, that's definitely something I think a lot of artists need to understand, celebrities as well, because ultimately, your brand, that's your branding that you have. Now, we also got to pivot a little bit. You're a big basketball baller. How big was it for Louisiana, you bringing the title home, man?
Well, that was the first one ever at the school, men or women. That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did it. That was huge, yeah. We were in tune to that. It needed, LSU basketball needed that. That was the first ever championship in school history, men or women. Big shout out to Big Bo and Angela Reese.
Man, look, with Flage, man, I mean, is there a possibility that you and her might get together on something down the line? You know, I had to tell you.
I was listening to her when I found out who her dad was maybe a couple years ago. I saw her do an interview. So I started tuning in to her music. But that was before she got to LSU for her freshman year. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here in Georgia, so, you know, I follow the basketball here in Georgia, and her being from Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a big fan of her music when I first heard her. And I saw it was hereditary. But we did listen to her dad up in when I was back home in New Orleans. We did listen to Camouflage music. Yeah, but that would be great.
Yeah, when you think about Camouflage, man, and, you know, because I don't think you told us that you were in Georgia now. I did, you know, when we interviewed you the first time, you know, you never we never even talked about Camouflage.
Yeah, I've been here since the storm, man.
Okay. When you look at the genes of genius passed down from what Camouflage, what was Camouflage? Because you all bumped him in New Orleans. What made him so special that resonated with y'all out there and now seeing his daughter carry on that
tradition?
I think
it was just the name. I think it was the name that attracted us. You know, we were big on the camouflage. We wore that a lot. So it was the name that attracted us to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tragedy of, you know, his death. When I figured out that Flage was his daughter, I really started listening to her music.
Yeah, that girl's special, man. Oh, God bless her.
Yeah,
she is. I mean,
that freestyle over that Lauryn Hill, that freestyle, yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, when you look at a lot of the talent coming up in New Orleans right now, I mean, it's just Baton Rouge, I mean, all over the state. I mean, for the reputation that you all have established, the legacy you all carry on, the tradition that will keep on moving. Who do you see right now out there that's really, really, really making strides that you like see are going to keep the legacy going?
It's a ton of them. You got DH next up. You got Rifle 9. You got Ren Getz. You got Nino Calvin. You got Toki Hefner. It's a lot of them. You got Weed Junkie. I mean, it's a ton of artists in New Orleans, talented artists in New Orleans right now. It's a lot of them. You got Max Sun. McKinley, Bandana King. Yeah, his son, Bandana King, RFN, Bandana King.
Now, his dad
are like night and day. They are night and day. Night and day. Totally different artists. And I like that he took on his own persona. That's what I like about him. He didn't try to be his dad.
All right, now we're gonna
he has
see
his own personality.
Team. Are we now, Sam? Are we going to see a triple team?
Y'all definitely get him on the record. Yeah, we're going to start working soon. Yeah, we'll definitely get a record with all three of us on it.
Okay, because we need that. King had posted something a few days ago about Currency, one of the legends out there. And Currency said that he has the most loyal fan base. And I chimed in. I said I have to agree in terms of the longevity, the relevancy, and the support that he has maintained. Because, of course, this is a public post because this is on Twitter that he said that when they asked about. What because you knew Currency from your time, both of you were Cash Money.
He was at No Limit with us.
No Limit.
He actually ended up going to Cash Money.
I think of Cash Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, before No Limit. Yeah, but you knew him in No Limit, of course. Yeah, you knew him in No Limit.
Yeah.
No Limit, No Limit, my fault. So you both were label mates at one time. And editors know because he did end up being with Cash Money for a short time. But, of course, you two were label mates on No Limit. When he came in, and, of course, what he started out, how he started and where he is now, what was it like to watch his rise and for him to make that declaration like
Yeah, I saw it from the absolute beginning. I watched his grind from the absolute beginning of putting out all those mixtapes. And he stuck to his gun. He didn't change who he was. He didn't try to be something he wasn't. Except for a pothead, because I remember in our No Limit days, he gave us hell
about smoking. Smoke.
He gave us hell about smoking weed. His thing was, man, y'all killing y'all brain cells. So when I first saw him smoking, I think we had a show together somewhere in New Orleans, and I saw him, I was approaching the venue, and I saw him on the corner smoking. I didn't say anything to him outside. But we were sitting inside the venue, so I got close enough to him. I was like, damn, are you smoking? He was like, man, you got to do something for this stress. And from that point on, he took off. And now he's the pothead. I always clown him about that when I see him. He used to tell me all the time, you're killing your brain cells. But now I ask him, like, you lose your brain cells? No.
One thing about it,
but he grind, he put the grind in, and he deserved everything he gets. He put the time in, he put the work in, and he stuck. He went through bad deal after bad deal after bad deal. He stuck to his gun, and he made it happen for himself.
Following his career, King and myself, and for those that are really, really fans of his, there's one thing you noticed about him. Next to weed, that nigga loves his cars. God knows.
Yeah, he been a car junkie. Yeah, he loves cars. Yeah, that's his thing, cars. Old schools. Yeah, he's heavy into cars.
Man, look, we've seen the Chevy. Look, we've seen the Impalas. We saw the Camaros. We've seen the Bentley trucks. We've seen the Phantoms. We've seen the Arnages. We saw the Corvettes. You know, but also in all seriousness, like you said, Sam, it's about understanding your vision and having the tenacity to keep going. Because everybody sees you when you're on the win streak, but nobody knows how many losses and pit stops you have to take before you actually checkered flag.
He took his fair share of losses, and he just stood by, he stuck to his guns, and he got it done. And what I like about him, the thing that I admire most about him is he didn't leave home. When he made it, he stayed home.
Yeah.
He stayed home. And he let the people see the success, that it can't happen for them.
And you know the one thing about it too, Sam, that we noticed. Shout out to Shante, of course, man, because you never hear him say anything. You never hear nobody say nothing bad about him. He don't say nothing bad about nobody. He is one of those artists that you see is genuinely loved, you know. He is genuinely loved. And that is a very rare phenomenon for a homegrown artist. Like Currency is.
Yeah, he can walk around. He can be around that city. He don't have heavy police presence, heavy security, and all that. He's a humble kid.
But this is also a warning to those haters out there. Currency is one of the most coolest down to earth niggas. But I tell y'all, just because that man is peaceful, that man is not alone. Do not do anything stupid running up on that guy, because there will be consequences and repercussions.
I don't see it happening. I don't see nobody ever running. I just don't see it. I would be totally shocked if anybody was to ever try him in that way. Like, it's just not. I don't see it.
Right, right. And I'm just saying, I'm not right. And I'm just saying that from a perspective, because we see a lot of times the jealousy and the envy that comes out in situations where a lot of the time, these artists don't bother nobody. But, you know, you got somebody who's always
your haters.
You got your haters.
Yeah, you do.
How important is that for artists to, no matter where they're from, Sam, to where they're born and raised? Because we see the story time and again. A lot of times that becomes the object of scorn and ridicule. When people say, well, such and such made it, and then they left their hometown, and they don't ever come back, and they don't do nothing for anybody. When you look at all of these different elements of what people perceive as how people should conduct themselves when success comes, what is your perspective from your experience as an artist, being as successful as you've been, producing quality as you have been, and still maintaining those ties at home?
It was easy for me because of the people I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was with No Limit, I was home a lot. Like, I didn't get any backlash. Nobody was expecting anything from me. They treated me as if I was Sam off of Belmont. So when the deal fell through and things didn't go as planned, nobody looked at me any different. Nobody looked at me as a failure. No, nothing like that. I was able to go home and just live life like I was, like it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the person you are. I wasn't the person coming home throwing it in people's face. I was that same person when I came back home. Actually, it was an instance where I brought C-Murder to our project, and it was a ton of people out there, and we were out there playing basketball on Belmont. Me, C-Murder, and Mac, with the guys I grew up with playing in that same courtway. And they respected me for that. Like, I never came to show my success or nothing in their face. I was always the same person, but it was easy for me to go back home.
And that's important, man. I think a lot of times when we see artists, the thing is this, only a hater doesn't want to see you win, but only an arrogant person is anxious to flaunt it in front of everybody else. And from either your own arrogance or somebody else's hatred towards you for your success, both could be fatal or detrimental. I think a lot of artists coming into the game because, and even when they become successful, because you have this area of not necessarily nouveau rich, because a lot of times we don't see artists that are rich. We see artists that get known, but they don't necessarily have wealth. But they treat the success as a collateral for substituting wealth, which is not the same thing. But with a misplaced bad attitude and a believing more of who you are than what you actually are, it can be a recipe for disaster. And I think that's something a lot of artists have to understand. Because as many successes as you have, you know, those successes can go belly up like a dead whale, and you know, you get harpooned in the ocean, you know, like Captain Ahab on Moby Dick, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta always be careful out there, man, because the sharks are watching, and you don't want to put yourself out. And for those that understand fishing, understand how I'm about to break this lingo down. You don't want to be the bait of the chums getting, you know, being hunted by those who you think are your chums. Because at the end of the day, they're looking for a hook to catch you and skin you and, you know, fillet you once they got you. So you always want to be careful out there in the waters because they are shark infested. In terms of what you look forward to down the line.
I was asking somebody else sent me another question. He asked me,
okay,
is there anything that you would have done differently during your No Limit days?
That's a ton of things I would have done differently, to be honest with you. One in particular would probably be the people that I was hanging around. Like, I chose the wrong people to be with. And we wasn't really focused on music when I first got there. I was young, immature, and thought it was just going to blossom and happen for just going to be everything I thought it was going to be. I really didn't get the chance to put the work in because when I got there, that's when things were kind of falling apart. I didn't really get the opportunity that the first group of artists got. And that kind of soured it for the, you know, I say the good got to suffer for the bad. Because when we were coming in, No Limit wasn't No Limit at the time. It was really on the decline. P was playing basketball. A lot of the producers were having issues with him, so they wasn't working with us. I think if I'd have built better relationships with some of the producers that were there, it would have turned out different.
Yeah. And for those that know that history, we're not here to, you know, shade anybody. I mean, for those that know the history, y'all know what was going on and what Sam is alluding to and what King and myself already knew about it. When you're looking at a situation in terms of what do artists have to understand signing to a label about making sure that everybody is focused and on the same page about what is going on? Because there were obviously, for those that know, as I said, we all know what was going on at that time. And it goes to what you were saying about things were not necessarily as they should have been from that first iteration of that initial roster that was so successful. How important is it for an artist who does have a possible label deal to understand everything going on in terms of all the business, making sure that everything is taken care of, making sure that everybody is being tended to, making sure that the continuation of success is sustained?
For one, I didn't have my own lawyer. P's lawyer was my lawyer. I didn't have my own publishing company. P's company, publishing company was my publishing company. I actually didn't read the entire contract.
Right.
So you had to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed going into deals like that.
Right, right. And that's real. We have said this on the show. We have reiterated this before because a lot of artists get caught up in a lot of it. And we're just saying this in general. Once again, on Off the Cuff, we give you free game because we genuinely care. From what we have learned in the game, it's only right we pay it forward to give people that wisdom that has been gifted to us. So once again, we're going to break it down for y'all. Number one, if you're coming into the game, they always tell you before anything, have a good lawyer before anything, because your lawyer is your lifeblood. Your lawyer is the person that helps you read the contracts. Before you get a manager, before you get anything, get a lawyer, because you got to understand someone who knows how to negotiate in terms of reading these things, who makes sure you're going to get what you're going to get. Your manager, this is the order, lawyer, manager. You need the litigation, then your manager, then you find a good manager, because your manager is going to facilitate the business in terms of talking to the people to actually get you the bookings in terms of the manager is the person who actually does your booking information. These are the people that did talk to the potential bookers about you coming in. Now, if you're lucky, you get a good lawyer and a good manager put together, if you're really fortunate. Then you go with your publicist. because your publicist is going to be the one that builds your brand, because you have to make sure that you're putting a good image out there to where people are going to rock with you on a level. So what does this equate to, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? It equates to a network. Either you're going to have a strong one that has a satellite that reaches, or you're going to have a broken down TV antenna with aluminum foil trying to get a signal. You really have to make sure that you have everything in place. Never under any circumstances with a potential signing with a label do you ever go with anybody they recommend to you. Never under any circumstances. I say this again. We say this again. Never under any circumstances take any legal counsel from any label that you go to, because already there's an inherent conflict of interest for obvious reasons. That's just a short list. We ain't going to give up all the game on off the cuff. Those are just the three basic rules you need to understand. seeing that you have still maintained the love of this thing, Sam, obviously you have your New Orleans roots and you being in Atlanta, being a resident there. Seeing Atlanta right now in terms of the music scene and how it's still.
To be honest with you, I never got into the music scene in Atlanta.
Okay.
Like, I didn't build any relationship with any artist from Atlanta when I got here. I came here with a group of guys willing to start. We were going to start our own thing here. But I realized something here. If you're not established already coming to Atlanta, it's not going to work.
We've heard this before.
I respect that because this is what I respect about Atlanta and their artists. They stick together.
Yeah.
They help each other get on. They do. They do records with each other. They don't charge each other. Like when Young Thug was coming out, he got a record with T.I. When the baby was coming up, he got records with Young Thug. They do stick together. I give them that. But if you're not already an established artist, the reception is going to be a little different.
We've heard this before, Sam, because it's so
congested.
Yeah, because the thing is, Atlanta has, over the past 40 years, really built a real groundswell of their own movement.
And they're all homegrown artists.
Exactly.
All of them are from here.
Exactly.
From
Outkast
to Lil Baby, they all one big family. You have issues here and there between artists, which you're going to have it. But all in all, they do stick together and they help each other's career.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Gucci, Jeezy, you know.
Gucci is a staple. Like, everybody's tied to Gucci, man. Like, all the
artists
tied to him are tied to him. Migos, Lil Baby, Young Thug, all of them are tied to Gucci, man.
For those, shameless plug, for those that have not read Gucci Mane's book, The Autobiography of Gucci Mane, y'all need, written by Neil Martinez Belkin and himself, y'all need to pick that book up. For what Sam is saying about Gucci being a staple, y'all need to pick up Gucci Mane's book and read the whole story about his history. Team Jeezy over here all day. Shout out to the guys, Ace, Jeezy, Superstar Trey, the whole CTE clique, Boo Rossini, Snoop 11. But I love a good book. And Gucci's autobiography is a great read to really, really, really understand how integral he is to the modern hip-hop history of Atlanta, Georgia. That man's impact has been undeniable on infinite levels that we cannot fully give appreciation to here.
Yeah.
But that's something that obviously, you know, you were already making moves, Sam, so you are not predicated, you know, Atlanta's acceptance of you is, you know, you were not, that was not going to move you one way or the other. You were already making moves. You already had the talent. But we see so many artists trying to get down to the A to make it, because obviously that's the hotbed. It's been that way for the past 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, if you are not born and bred there, you know, it's hard to break through that door. Because
it's hard. It's real hard.
Yeah, because there's so many artists that are already making it out of there. That it's like, you know, it's a congested traffic, but it's organized at the same time, because everybody is going to have their time to really get out there, whether local or they, you like, you know, you got guys like, of course, Jay Futuristic, who's been down there for a minute. I mean, of course, you had Young L.A. when he was with Grand Hustle for his time. Rest in peace, Bankroll Fresh, what he was doing down there before his, you know, tragic murder. But these were artists that had came from a local level and had really managed to get out there. And people got to understand, you know, you got to wait in line coming out there in Atlanta.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you're going to have
to. It's a long line.
Yeah, it's a very long line. But ultimately, what have you noticed about living out there as opposed to what it was in New Orleans, in terms of just the life, just how the scene, this the social scene, just how everything is different?
Well, the difference is, man, you can go out on a Tuesday night, and it's like a Saturday night in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every night is something to do. It's something going on every night. Like, every night. It's a holiday. Like, it's a big party somewhere. Every club is packed.
Wow.
It could be a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night. You don't have to wait till the weekend to go have a good time out here.
Man, no days off. Everybody lit every
no
week.
No days off. Every day.
I bet the Sunday night would be the most popular.
Man, every night. Just pick a night. It don't have to be a Sunday or have to be a Saturday. Any night in Atlanta is a party night. Club packed, cars everywhere, people everywhere. Every night. And it's not just one club. You got maybe six or seven clubs just crowded on any given night. That's the big difference with anywhere else I've been.
When you look at it how does the city begin to build their entertainment infrastructure that facilitates the success of their artists, and not only, but sustains it?
That's a tough one, yeah. Like, I don't know how they do it. I think they say it's overcrowded, but it works for them. Being overcrowded works for them. Like, it's easy for them. Like, it's a lot of people here. They say it's overcrowded, but it works for them. I think that's how they're able to sustain what they have going on, because there's a lot of people here. From all, I'm not talking about, like, people from, I've met people from Russia here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A melting pot now.
It is. It's a big melting pot. People come from all over to live here. Like, my first couple years here, I don't think I met one person that was originally from Atlanta. Very few people that were originally from Atlanta when I first got here. Everybody was from somewhere else.
Oh, wow.
New
was
York.
This around, was this around 2019, 2020?
Tennessee. Now, this is like 2005, 2006.
After Katrina.
After Katrina. And it has grown since. Like, it's just people just migrate here. I think that's why the entertainment scene is able to sustain the success it's getting, because people move here every day.
Yeah. And when you look at that wave of it, when you look at that wave of it, y'all, when we think about going back to the early 2000s, you know, with Ludacris, Lil Jon, you know, of course, Outkast and Organized Noize was still rolling.
I think what happened was I think when BMF came, that they changed the trajectory of the nightlife out there.
Oh, now
you're right. That was around that time.
Yeah, because BMF came
the trajectory.
Down there around. Yeah, because BMF came down there around maybe the mid '90s, and you know, that was like, and the stories that we heard. I mean, because we was young back then, you know, so the stories that we heard about how they was moving. There was no social media, and that was one of those things. If you didn't live there, you didn't really understand the impact that they had. Now, this was just from the, like, you know, this is way before music, because this is way before Jeezy, you know, came in the game doing music. So this is like, these are just dudes coming in with a whole lot of money and a lot of places to throw it around at. And the stories that we heard about where they threw that money around. Free meat, you know, in the gang. But yeah, man, but it's like, but like you said, y'all, it was just a time down there, and that really opened up that second generation of what would become, like, you know, what was, I mean, it's just indescribable. I mean, you look at everybody, and then you combine that with the music that was coming out there in that era. I mean, it was just,
now you have movies.
Yeah.
You're filming movies every other day.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you, that level of history, that cultural coalescence, the – when you think about it, Sam, getting to meet people from all over, what did that do in terms of – because they say – the people you meet from all over the world gives you an expedited experience in terms of traveling to different parts of it. What did you find getting to interact with so many different people from all over the country and world?
I've learned a lot of different, I've come across a different bunch of different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And and Georgia's huge. It's huge. You can pretty much hide in plain sight out here. It's huge. I've learned a lot of different cultures, a lot of different things here as far as going to see other places. Like, I've run into people that will tell me about where they come from and make me want to go visit where they come from. I've met a lot of different people here. It made me want to travel the country. Like, I've been out the country because of things people that told me where they come from.
How important is it to be able to travel, not as just an artist, but as a human being, to see the world and to see things outside of your immediate vicinity?
It's refreshing. Maybe a different perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
It does, like seeing a lot of different things. Like, mm-hmm. There's a song on my album called Clouds, and I wrote that because I was actually in Aruba, and I was actually sitting on the beach looking up into the clouds like that. Coming from where I come from, I'm sitting on a beach in Aruba, and I know a lot of my friends didn't get a chance to live long enough to see stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to go see things, like just to go see the world. It's very important. It's refreshing. It'd be a different perspective on life, too.
And for those that don't know, for a little bit of hip-hop trivia, Jim Jones, that's part of his heritage because he's Aruban and Puerto Rican, for those that don't know. So, you know, Sam got to visit, you know, Jim's homeland.
I didn't know that.
Jim Jones is half Aruban and half Puerto Rican. Yeah. When you think about that, Sam, and when you wrote Clouds, because it has such a serene, such an ethereal title, which could only give a inkling to the essence of which you created it, because it's about being up in the air, being free, being flowing, being able to just be at one in terms of going, because the clouds are infinite. It suggests a space that is endless, of where you go, where the day takes you. In terms of those locales, and you see how it helps to when you created that, like you said, about all the people that didn't get to experience it. What are some other elements in terms of things that you've experienced that have been able that you spoke about that song specifically? What are some other experiences and songs that you wrote that were inspired by those experiences?
Pretty much that entire Off Belmont album was written in Aruba. I saw so much out there.
And oh wow!
It goes back to where I come from. Like where I come from, I didn't expect to ever be on the beaches of Aruba. Like that never crossed my mind growing up. So being out there, I was just reflecting on where I come from, and like a lot of people that wasn't here to even get a chance to experience it. So that whole entire Off Belmont album was written out there because of the experience, like coming from. That's why I titled it Off Belmont, because that's where I'm from, a court we're in the project, in the Magnolia Project called Belmont Court. And I just was reflecting the whole time I was out there. I was just so amazed at them. Well, I'm here from that point to this point. I never thought I'd see something like that. I didn't think it was possible to. I didn't know what a passport was growing up. Like, and that just shed so much light on where I came from and how far I had came as a person, period. And that whole album was written out there. I was there for like a week and a half, and the entire album was written out there.
But when you think about it, Sam, what you did with the music, how it reached so many, how it brought you to us on Off the Cuff Radio twice. Who said dreams don't come true? Who said inspiration doesn't manifest itself in a interaction? Who's to say how what you aspire to, once you put action behind it, it becomes actual fact and reality? This is indeed a gift that you've lived, you know, in terms, and then you're able to give us your gift, your wisdom, your wit, your experiences expressed in words and song, be able to be here, to be able to see one of your very best friends in the world see himself through a prison sentence, come home, you all reconnect and are still in effect. All this has been written in the book and the chapters of your championship run, like a full court press. You're still scoring. Who said God ain't good, and who says it can't happen when you just put the determination behind it?
Sure. And words are powerful. And I say that because if you think back to Mac's World War III album, it's a song that he did that just told his entire life, that what he went through, that lockdown song, that entire song about his girl. This is before his girl was pregnant with his son. He did that. He spoke that song into existence where he went to jail for something he didn't do at the time that his girl was pregnant with his son. Like, when that happened to him, it fucked me up. Like, that let me know how powerful words are when you speak shit into existence, because he literally spoke his life into existence. What he went through, he spoke that before it even happened to him. So words are powerful. So that's why I kind of opened up on this album as much as I did.
Well, one thing about it, you know it off the cuff, Sam. We are staunch supporters. You know, once again, shout out to Pat for enabling this, this
definitely
excellent intro.
Pat.
Yes, yes. As we close on this, you know, Sam, you give our very best to Mac and his family.
Definitely.
We thank you again. We extend that invitation to Mac as well if he wants to come on the show.
Yeah,
we would love to have him on. Because the stories, your scriptures, your lives are intertwined. And this is a triumph. This is something that is tremendously essential. You all keep doing what you're doing. We support you all the way. God bless.
Definitely.
And
appreciate you always, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate
yeah,
you
we appreciate
always.
The support. Yeah, we definitely appreciate the support.
Yeah, man. So, you know, love.
Yeah, definitely,
man.
If you have any other songs or material or content, just let us know. You can send it over here. We'll definitely promote it for you.
Definitely.
And,
definitely appreciate you for joining us, man.
It's all love, man.
Absolutely. You know, another outstanding chapter, you know, Samal Belmont, shout out there by Magnolia, you know, from the projects.
That's
you know, it's like, yeah, you know, like I said, man, look, you got a homegrown son out here still doing his thing and making y'all proud. New Orleans, stand
that's
up. Cool. Louisiana, stay strong, always solid. And forever with the real, man, with the gumbo of genius that everybody collectively cooks out there with all the ingredients of intelligence and intellect and, most important, integrity.
Yeah, 3C Murder, long live Magnolia Charlie, long live Magnolia Smith.
Absolutely, in that order. Till the next time, y'all. Sam, once again, thank you so much. Our best to you and your family.
No problem.
King, take us out of here.
That note, 548, is in the books. Be sure to check us out tomorrow night for episode 549. We're going to be featuring Cole Gray. And big salute to you, Samo, for joining us, man. We enjoyed the bill. Send our love to Mac out there for you whenever you can. Big shout out to Pittsburgh Pat for making this happen. And we just going to keep it pushing for y'all, man. So y'all have a blessed night. I'm about to go ahead and charge this phone up before it die on me. So y'all have a blessed night and y'all be safe.
Chill. All right. On that note, we out. Peace.